right, tonight we normally have a special, but we're going to start off with our missionary because they are going to be our special tonight. I hope you came for preaching and also for the missions conference. We have different things that go on during the missions conference. That means we put the screen down during the service. All right, we don't always do that. And so don't get upset if you don't like the screen coming down, all right? I'm preparing you. All right, the Wheelers are missionaries in Mexico. They're going to come. And also, I talked about their Bible distribution. They may say some of that, but we're going to watch their video on Friday night for that. And so I hope that you've come tonight for preaching and just opening your heart to missions. I appreciate the Wheelers. They've been so good. I mentioned it this morning. You might have been working in different areas. Brother Wheeler was here for our Spanish conference that we had this past summer that I had to leave for because my wife fell and popped her hip out of socket there. And so didn't get to spend as much time with them, but they are translating our English school curriculum into Spanish. And I got a great burden for the Spanish world, and so do we. And so we're looking forward to all that the Lord will do with that once we get that completed. You come, Brother Wheeler, and just go ahead and you can say a word. Whenever your family's ready, you can come and do that as well.
All right, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited about your missions conference, and I count it a privilege to be here in your missions conference. And my name's Lacey Wheeler, and I'm a missionary in Mexico. I've been there 21 years, but born and raised in East Tennessee, and from Greenville, Tennessee. Anybody from Tennessee here? All right, Tennessee, all right. And so we don't claim the rest of the state. Only East Tennessee counts, all right? Well, I was born and raised there. It was dairy farmers and tobacco farmers. And so it was forced labor, but we've repented of our tobacco growing, okay? I won't let you know that. Went to the little country church, and our country church was an independent Baptist church, and our preacher never was famous, but he always liked to go to Camp Myrtle, Mississippi, but it was a church that preached the gospel. You either got in or out, but when I was 13 years old, I rebelled, and when I came 16, I pulled up the white flag of surrender, and I got saved at 16, and began to grow, and took my first missions trip when I was 20. I look like a bunch of Bible college. You guys from Bible college here? All right. Anyway, everybody needs to take a missions trip, I believe. So my first missions trip, first plane flight, was to Moscow. Just an old country boy, you know. Hardly ever been out of the county, but I went God put something in my heart, stirred my soul. Couldn't get away from it. So I went back to Greenville, Tennessee. I was working. I graduated high school, and then later on, when I went to the mission field, then I went to Bible College in Tabernacle Baptist Bible College in Greenville, South Carolina, and spent 4 years there. Actually, five. Should be four, but it's five. Anyway, so I went, and then the Lord called me to go to Mexico. And I wasn't married, and I was getting 31 years old. I was getting really worried about this, you know. I said, that's all right. I'm just going to go to the mission field. So anyway, I went to Laredo, worked with Bill Waldrop. He's a missionary there, a veteran. But on the way down there, one of the pastors that supported me said, hey, I'll help you go down to the mission field. I'll take your van, and you drive the car. But my daughter and this other girl that's going to go, and they're going to do some vacation Bible school. And so that other girl that went down to Laredo when I was going down there became my wife 2 years later, all right? So God provides. I mean, you guys ready to get married, eh? Yes, God will provide. No, some of you guys are ugly. No, I'm just kidding. You guys get married. I mean, it's the ugly guys that get married first. I don't know what's the deal. I don't know how to say these things, but anyway. But I love being in Mexico, and it's a blessing to be there. I enjoy it. We're going to show a video right here really quickly and then sing a couple songs, and then I'll present my family here. But I've been down there in Mexico, Irapuato, Guanajuato, dead center Mexico, and we're church planters. We believe in the local church. Two things that we need: a Bible
in a local church. It's what we need. And anyway, so we are church planters. We have a little Bible Institute. One of our ministries is getting scriptures and Bibles into Mexico. So we take in 2 to 3 tractor and trailer loads every year because Mexico has 32 states and got 130 million people. And Russia has 144 million, probably 143 now since the war. Anyway, so we're right behind Russia as far as the population. And so there's a great need in Mexico and around the world. And, you know, your theme is unto the furtherance of the gospel all over the world. Find your place in world missions. And I'm excited to be here tonight. I want to show you a video it talks about. Now, this video was done several years ago. You can see my kids. They don't like showing this video because there are little kids in the video. And I said, well, if you make me one, I won't show it anymore. But I'm going to keep showing it until you make me one because these guys, they know all these technical things and all that, you know. So they get embarrassed, you know, when they see it. But, you know, that's the price you have to pay, you know. But anyway, it gives you a little view of what we've been doing, and we've done some other things after that. But anyway, if we want to show the video now, and it's good to see the Spanish pastor, eh, up there. Hermano, Dios bendiga. Amén, todo, ahí está.
We are the Wheeler family, missionaries in central Mexico. My name is Lacey, and I have served full-time on the mission field since 2004. My wife, Holly, and I were married in 2006. Our children, Titus, Levi, and Lydia, were all born in the country of Mexico. Mexico is the world's largest Spanish-speaking country. Its central plateau is known as the Bajío. Both industry and agriculture flourish here. The Bajío is the breadbasket of Mexico. It is both the most wealthy and the most secure area of the country. But it is also the least evangelized. This area is home to the most staunchly devout Roman Catholics. Idol worship is rampant. Less than 2% of the population professes any other Christian religion. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and charismatic groups have a strong presence in this area. It is Mexico's spiritual heart of darkness. This is also where we have lived and worked for nearly 10 years. Our state, Guanajuato, is in the very center of Mexico. It has a population of nearly 6 million, similar in size to the country of Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Over 96% are professing Roman Catholics. The highest percentage in the country.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not.
Our primary mission is planting Bible-believing Baptist churches in the cities and the villages of Guanajuato. We also operate a gospel literature distribution center and have a growing youth camp ministry. Our home is in the city of Irapuato. Irapuato has a population of nearly 500,000 people. It is the second largest city in our state. In 2008, we founded Gospel Baptist Church here. Gospel Baptist Church has grown steadily over the past 7 years. In our second year, the Lord allowed us to purchase our own church property. Now we are expanding to make room for future growth. Many souls have come to know the Lord as their Savior through the ministry of Gospel Baptist. We have a burden to reach our city through personal evangelism, special meetings, door-to-door witnessing, and literature distribution. This year, our goal as a church is to assemble and deliver packages of John and Romans, gospel tracts, and a church invitation to 30,000 homes in Irapuato. We also want to reach the lost beyond our city. Irapuato is surrounded by dozens of ranchitos, or small rural villages. The atmosphere of these rustic villages is very different from the modern city, just a short 15-minute drive away. For the past 2 years, we have been working to plant a church in the village of Balancanita. Juan has been faithfully attending Bible Baptist Church of Balancanita since we began holding services.
Yeah, but how much does it cost to pay for the announcement?
Five.
Five what?
Pesos.
Let's see it. Okay. All right, let's go.
Young people of the community enjoy our vacation Bible school and children's class. Almost none have ever heard the true message of salvation before. The people here are friendly and hospitable, but reluctant to question their cherished traditions. Other religions are viewed with suspicion or hostility. Guanajuato is home to hundreds of these unreached villages, just like Balancanita. The printed page can reach places where we cannot always go. The Lord has used the Literature Distribution Center based here in Irapuato to help other pastors and missionaries reach the lost across the country. Every year we bring in at least 2 tractor and trailer loads of gospel literature. The Distribution Center operates 5 days a week and ships Bibles, John and Romans, tracts, and evangelistic material to every state in Mexico. Our youth are the future of the church. In 2014, the Lord gave us the opportunity to acquire a youth camp just outside the capital city of Guanajuato. Many young people have been saved here, and others have made decisions to serve the Lord full-time in the ministry.
When did you get saved?
August 6th.
August the 6th. Where was that at?
In the camp.
A youth camp? Yeah, our youth camp. He was saved in our youth camp in Tejavan. How many services have you missed since?
Nothing.
Yeah, we're on soul winning visitation today, and he's even out. So it's a blessing to see that the camp is having an influence on young people like Miguel.
We want to prepare young people to reach their generation and their world.
Oh.
message, and my family is coming. We're going to sing an old song. It's called Call for Reapers, which is written back in, I think, 1816, and it's an old song. This is my son, Titus, or Levi. I can't remember them all. Levi, they've grown since the video, like you tell, right? Yeah, Lydia, and this is my wife, Holly. She's from South Carolina, from Columbia. And this is Titus. They were born in Mexico, as you can tell, right? They are Mexican. Call for Reapers. We're going to do, one of these is going to be in Spanish. One verse.
Thank you.
Amen. We'd like to sing another song. It's an older song, too. They used to sing it in the prison camps in the Civil War. It's Come Ye Sinners. I heard a lady sing it in West Virginia, and I said, we've got to sing this song. That's what a mission conference is all about, is reaching sinners with the gospel. Amen? And so it's a plea for sinners to come. Again, it's a pleasure to be here. Tonight I want to preach a message about investing in people. This is what this missions conference is about, is investing people around the world. There's no greater joy than to see people get saved and then go on to serve the Lord. You know, there's a lot of investments you can make. You know, there's real estate, mutual funds, bonds, whatever. But the greatest investment that you'll ever make is in your family, in your local church, with the young people. It's a spiritual investment that you can make. People that started this church, and they've made an investment in people's lives. And now you can see the result. The church is going strong. The church is full. is an investment made. And I want to preach on investing in people tonight. A lot of people want to invest in themselves, self-centered. But those that want to give and invest in world missions, oh, I want to tell you, God will bless and God will prosper you. There's three things that have been an influence in my life and people has invested in me. Number one, I want to speak Spanish, was my mother. And the other one was my local church. And the third thing that was an influence in my life was the Bible, God's holy word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us just tonight. And we want to talk about it, how we can invest in people. We want to look at some scriptures tonight. The Apostle Paul, he's the one that tells us how we can make an investment. He made an investment in people's lives. One of the greatest missionaries there ever was. And he tells about a story in the scriptures. We'll read those, the 12 verses tonight. In his 12 verses, Paul is going to tell us how he made an investment in the Thessalonican people, in Thessalonians. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, your presence, your power, and Lord, help us to invest in people. Lord, I ask you to help us tonight. And Lord, give us what we stand in need of. So Lord, without your spirit, it's all in vain. And we can do nothing. So Lord, help us tonight to invest our lives in things that are spiritual. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. First, I want to explain about these 12 verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Paul the Apostle. He went to a town in Thessalonians. Not one single Christian, not one single person that was saved. So he rides into town. I don't know, maybe rides on a horse, I don't know. But he went into town. And he made an investment into these people and started preaching the gospel and started a local church. Amen. He invested his life. Oh, he had the passion, he had one passion, and that's to see people saved. And then he started the church and got the church going, and he left. And then he writes back to them, and he tells them how he made an investment into their lives. And we have it here, what he said. And we can take that and make an investment as an application. We can take that, what Paul says, and we can make an investment in people's lives also. So let's read those 12 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we are to pay much attention. Now, I may stumble over a few words, but please bear with me. But let's read. Here's what Paul said. It says, "For yourselves, brother, know our entry into you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we have suffered before and was shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, yet nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth his children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. For ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. Tonight I want to talk about making investments. In verse 1, Paul says, I got 7 points tonight. Now, I'm not going to spend an hour on each point. Right? We've been in the church about 54 minutes, and I won't take long, okay? Now, if you can remember all these 7 points, Pastor Parsons is going to give you $10. I'm just kidding. He didn't agree to that. Investing in people. The first point is this. To invest in people, we must have the right understanding. Paul says in verse 1 and 2 that he says, I came to preach the gospel here with much contention. We have the right understanding. To start investing in people, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. To have a good marriage, it's going to cost you something. You have to work at it. If you're going to have good children, it's going to cost you something. Paul said, we suffered at Philippi, and with much contention, we started this church in Thessalonians. Well, I tell you, I remember when we started our first church in Mexico. I was 32 years old, and we had Titus. He's like 2 years old. And I've been studying the Bible with two guys. And they said, oh, yes, we want to start a church. So I went out and rented a building. And they never came. So out of the building, I said, well, let's just go knock on doors. Amen. So anyway, I remember those first things. I had to lead the singing. I've never led singing in my entire life, let alone doing it in Spanish. And we have no nursery. I mean, it was very hard. But anyway, one by one, they started coming. And they began to get saved. And I remember those days. It was rough. And I remember we didn't have any Bibles. We used the Reina Valera Gomez Bible. I started the church in 2006. I started using the Reina Valera Gomez Bible in 2006. But I was the only one that had Bibles. So I started going to the border, picking up Bibles. I had a Suburban and an 8-foot trailer. But man, it was so hard. It was like 11 hours to the border. I would get scriptures and Bibles. And then as soon as I came across, the cartels pulled me over. And I looked in the mirror and I saw him coming. He had pistols. They had white pearl handles. Looked like John Wayne. One Mexican said, my favorite movie star is Juan Wayne. But he had his white pistol handles. And I said, oh, he's with the cartels. So he said, hey, throw your window down. What do you got in that trailer? I said, I got God's word. He said, let me see it. So I opened it up, and there's all those Bibles. I think he got under conviction. And he said, you get out of here. I said, sure thing. But I said, listen, I want to give you a John and Romans. I want to give you a gospel tract of the John and Romans. And he said, I don't need that. I said, maybe in the line of work you're doing, you might need it. He said, thank you. Now get out of here. So we went. So I went home and came back. I ran out. So I had to go back to the border. And so I went back to the border, picked up some more, and crossed over into Matamoros and into Reynosa. Got down just a little bit, and the mafia, this time it wasn't that great. They put out the guns, and they said, you give us $100, because this road is ours. It's a toll road. And so we began to, didn't know what we were going to do, and God sent up the military on a patrol, and they were coming up. And so the mafia got word that the military was coming up, and they, I didn't know if they were going to shoot us or not, but they didn't. And they said to me, they said they started cussing me, and they just took off. And you know what we did? We took off too, but went the opposite direction. And I said, oh, God, got home. I said, I can't go back up there. It's just too dangerous. God, could you open up the doors for us? And a guy told me, he said, there's a broker up on the border. He can get you all your scriptures in. So I went and talked to him. I said, listen, can you bring in pallets of material, Bibles? He said, yeah. I said, what did it cost me to send 10 pallets down? He said he was a Mexican from Querétaro, but he married a lady from, he went to Texas A&M, married a lady from Rhode Island. That's a kind of a good mix there. And he said, hey, he said, don't be dumb. He said, if you put one pallet or you fill it up to 24 pallets, it's going to cost you the same. So you might as well fill it up. And he was a cussing Presbyterian. And I said, you know, you're right. So I started calling people. I called Dan Humble. I called up guys. And I said, hey, can you send me some scriptures? You know what? They send me 24 pallets. We fill it up, and I hadn't been able to go. I don't have to go to the border anymore. So now they just bring it on. You know, like Paul said, he said, yeah, with much contention, but it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Your work is not in vain. You will have, I promise, the right understanding. Number two, you have to have the right motive. Paul went in there to preach the gospel, to see people saved. And that was his motive. Paul said, I didn't come here for deceit, uncleanness, guile, flattery. I didn't come here for to covet your things. He's telling the Thessalonians, he said, not for glory and not to be a burden. He wasn't in it for the money. He was in it to serve God, like David. David served his generation in the will of God. And die. All God tells us to serve him in his will, and then we'll pass on to heaven. That should be our motives, is to get the gospel. The motives for this faith promise is to get people saved and to support the missionaries. You're investing in people. This is the best investment you ever make. It's supposed to, unselfish thing that you can do, because you're not putting it in yourself. And you know what? This is not going to add to your membership. It's an investment in the world. It's an investment in the world. Number three. You guys writing it down? He's going to give you $10. This college student said, yeah, I need it. I'm going to get a checker burger. Amen. My son said, Dad, what's a checker burger? I said, those are good. You already tried those. Verse 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul said, we really need to invest in people by caring for them. He had a heart for them. What he says in verse 7 and 8. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being as affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Do we really want to see people saved? Do we really want to see those young people not kill themselves and straighten their lives out and get right with God? Oh, we need some. I believe sometimes we're just too carnal. We're serving ourselves. Oh, that we would get a heart for the God. I like the song we sing. It was a prayer. Oh, my plea for the Lord to use me. We need to get a heart for the things of God. That's how we're going to make an investment. Get a heart for your family, for your children. Young people need to be invested in. Sometimes we're just too far from God to hear Him call. We're too far from God. And another thing, it says here, this would be the fourth point. We must invest by preaching the gospel. Verse 2, it says that Paul, he says, we are bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. And verse 8, it says, and not the gospel only, but the gospel is what they preached. That's how man and woman, boy and girl, is saved, by preaching the gospel. You know, listen, it's all right to give out clothes and food, but it will not save people. Now, you may have a ministry to give out food and clothes and then preach the gospel to them. I'm from the mountains, and those old mountain preachers up there, they're rough. I mean, he said, if you feed them and you never give them the gospel, you're just fattening them up for hell. When I went to Bible college, I had a missions teacher. His name was Dan Truax. Dan Truax spent 20 years in the Sahara Desert. And he had eye problems. He had letters about 2 inches for his nose, because being in the desert. But he said the nomads would ride the camels, take them 2 weeks to go across the Sahara Desert and come back. And he said that it was mostly Muslim. He said, we couldn't reach him. But he said he started at medical clinics. He said one day one of the old men in the village, they just left him there to die. He couldn't see. He's blind. And they took him to the clinic, and they preached to him. Gave him the gospel. He got saved. And they took, you know what, all it was, he had cataracts on his eyes. And they took the cataracts off. And the guy could see. He went back to health. And went back into the village, and all the people started coming to the medical clinic. But one stipulation Dan had, he said, we will treat you for free, but you've got to give me the opportunity to preach the gospel to you. Now, salvation is between God and man, but we must preach the gospel. That's the only way that men and women are going to be saved, is preaching the gospel. And that's how you invest. We see more people saved in Mexico from our youth camps. We preach the devil at everybody. We have several youth camps. We've seen more fruit out of that by preaching. And our vacation Bible school and our schools and it's lessons and witnessing and it's teaching, and many were saved. And our revival meetings, they're saved by the preaching of the word. And we have some that are saved when you preach on the street. So preaching is a must if you want to invest in people and unto the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel has got to go into the world so they could be saved. Now, that was number 4. Number 5, you got it, guys? We must invest by work. This building just didn't happen here. This building has a purpose. And somebody had to build this. It take work. I mean, to have a conference, a missions conference, it takes work. But it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Paul said, for a day and night, we labored for your souls. There's work involved. It's spiritual work and physical work. We're going to have to start spending more time in prayer, that the Holy Spirit will move and His presence will be in our life and be on our preaching. That men and women be saved. Or we took great pains. We go out visiting and we preach and we do all of these things. It takes work. If you want to see your kids saved, it takes work to live a separated life. And you're always putting the Word of God into them. Oh, yes, work. We had vacation Bible school. Every year I was like, it's a lot of work. Vacation Bible school. But we're going to have it anyway. I know Pastor Parson, he knows how that is. We're going to have our youth camps. We're going to have our vacation Bible schools. We're going to have our conferences. Because people will be saved and people will be, we're going to make an investment in them. A lady, 21 years old, came with her kids to vacation Bible school. Not this year, but last year. She came every night, brought her kids. Her name was Claudia. And Claudia got saved. She's hearing all the Bible stories about salvation. She got saved. She started coming. She came to her family camp. She came to all the services, brought her kids. But previous, her and her mom was in the cartel. And one night, last year, they came and they shot the mom and shot Claudia. And she covered the baby. She had a baby, but about a year old. And then the little boy, he was 5 years old. He was there too, but they didn't kill either one of them. And he ran across the road and knocked on the door of Margarita. Margarita was the first person saved in their church. And my wife led her to the Lord after the preaching. She'd been in her church for several years. And she said, "What are you doing? You've got blood on you." She said, the little boy said, "They killed my mom. They killed her." She went over there and pulled the baby out, and Claudia was buried. But you know what? It was worth it. That work for that vacation Bible school was worth it. We made investment in her life. That was number 5. Then number 6. You invest by an example. We're going to have to live a holy and separated life. Paul told the Thessalonians, he says, "You know my life. You know how I lived before you. We lived a holy and righteous life," he said. He said, "You are witnesses in God also. How holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed." You can't live like an angel on Sunday and a devil during the week and expect to be an influence on people's lives. Oh, no. You can't look and watch all the filth through the week and expect God to do something and use you as an investment in people's lives. Most people that are that way and carnal will not give to faith promise. If Paul the Apostle was here tonight in this conference, I guarantee you that he would give the faith promise, more than probably most of us. You invest by invent. You know what? Your kids will do what you do. I mean, I think it's time to quit sending our kids to Disney World and on and to the beach. It's time to start sending them to the mission field and having a positive influence upon their lives. Amen. Amen. How come we don't have enough missionaries and preachers anymore? Because we're not. I want to tell you, when I got out of high school, my mom moved to Florida, but I stayed and worked on the farm. When I got out of high school, I went and got a factory job. And I thought I was moving up in the world. They paid me $2 more. We built Magnavox televisions in their town. But as a guy came by, his name was Randy Dunn. He says, "Hey, Brother Wheeler, won't you go to Russia with us? We're getting out of Bibles. They're standing in a line." This was back in 1994. I said, yeah, really? You know, I just couldn't get away from it. He was an influence in my life. He invested in me. He bought me some books and things, and he took me to Russia. He said, just stand on the corner there and just give out those tracts. First time I ever gave out tracts was in Moscow. And he said, and they'd stand in line at that time a half mile long just to get a free Bible. Oh, an example that you live, your kids will follow you. And Paul says, I live a life that's unblameable. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And that's not what Paul was saying. But in Mexico, we have, you know, here we have diet drinks. It's called Diet Coke. There in Mexico, it's called Pepsi Light or Coke Light. I mean, we have a lot of light Christians. I mean, those are the ones that's not going to get involved. They're not going to give the faith promise. They're not going to be an influence in people's lives. I challenge you tonight, if you love God and read your Bible and things, go forward. But if you are one of those that are Pepsi Light, my challenge is to get close to God. Amen. I mean, live a life that, don't waste your life. Amen. I bought a book the other day, and the title, it says, Don't Waste Your Life. The title was good, but the book wasn't no good. But don't come to the end of life and have nothing to show for it. And your kids are not serving the Lord or saved. And this is the last one, number 7. Invest by exhorting. I got the chance to talk to your pastor. He's always trying to exhort the congregation. He's doing devotions, sending out these devotions. He wants to give them in Spanish. I mean, Paul the Apostle was the same. He says, walk with God. Walk with God. He says, there's 3 verbs I think Paul says here. He says in verse 11 and 12, as you know, how we exhorted, comfort, that means encouraged, and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that ye walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. You have a divine call from God if you're saved. Your life is like a father. You're investing people, my children. I always trying to teach them, encourage them to serve the Lord. Number one, I wanted them to be saved. They all made professions. Now I want them to marry right. Oh, it's my desire to marry right. I'm always exhorting them and tell them. I don't know if I can't tell you everything I tell them. Right? But I try to exhort. I pastor a church in Mexico. And I'm always exhorting them. And so when I hear other preachers, they're exhorting me. So I want to encourage you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that God has given to you. Not everybody's called to be pastor or missionary, but we're all called to be involved. Make investments in your life, because we only have so long to live in this world below. Last thing, that was 12, you got, or 7, right? This is the last thing I want to say tonight. Back in 1968, there was a group of Christians that left the Southern Baptist Church and didn't have no place to go. But a man gave 2 acres to start a church. It was his inheritance. And he became the pastor, the first pastor of that church in 1968. And his name was Buster Helton. So in 1969, he went and visited a young lady. The young lady came to church and got saved. She had a drunkard for a husband, and she had 7 kids. She later on, adopted 6 more. She had a drunkard for a husband, and I tell you, That lady was a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night Christian. And that was my mother. And then she was an influence on me and the church. When I was 16, I got saved. This morning, 11 of those children were in church somewhere today. But Buster Helton, the first pastor, gave it land. He doesn't, well, he may see in heaven. But he didn't know that I was a missionary and my other brothers in church and all the serving God. You never know what your investment will do. I mean, you may never see it, and sometimes you may. But this conference is about making investments unto the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to have the pastor come and give the invitation. Maybe you've got some kind of sin in your life, and you really can't serve God, and you want to get that right tonight. Maybe you're not saved. You never gave your life. You never pulled out the white flag of surrender. Maybe tonight you'll be that. Maybe God's calling you to be a preacher or a missionary. Whatever God is saying to your heart, do business with God.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. Has God spoken to your heart tonight about furthering the gospel? Why don't we do business? As the musicians come tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, would you step out and come? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know for sure that heaven would be your home, you can't further the gospel until you have it and make it your own, until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here tonight and you don't know Christ. I invite you to come and meet us in the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It would be a shame that a church like ours would send people around the world when someone right here inside the church tonight needs to be saved. Would you accept Christ tonight? He wants you to. We'll give you opportunity. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come? Let me meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Brother Bert, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.